in the wide, wide world of sports is going on here?
Broadcasting live from the greatest city in the world.
Austin, Texas, baby.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
You guys want to play some twos?
You know what? Actually, we're kind of in the middle of a conversation.
B&E.
What's B&E?
Bucky Godbolt, Aaron Hogan on the Horn, 104.9 AM 1260 and hornfm.com with the Longhorns play and Austin Talks Sports.
Wake up, everybody. No more sleeping in bed. No more back thinking, time for thinking ahead. The world has changed so very much from what it used to be. There's so much hatred, war and poverty. Oh, oh, oh. Wake up all the teachers, time to teach a new way. Maybe then they'll listen to what you have to say. They're the ones who's coming up, and the world is in their hands.
Yes, when sir. You teach wake them up. Children, get them up. The get them out. Best here on Friday on B&E. That's right, B&E on the road. Our annual visit to the wonderful Firewheel Golf Club right here in Garland, Texas. It is Texas. It is Oklahoma. For the 115th time that we are here. It feels like the 115th time we've been here, Buck.
Yeah, it does.
For a Friday. And I will say this, the weather blew in last night. Unbelievable circumstances here in the Metroplex last night as we were out at the Get Teed Off at OU Golf Tournament. We are at the Get Teed Off at OU Golf Tournament this morning. We were out at the Red River Rivalry softball game, the celebrity softball game at Dr. Pepper Park there in Frisco. And beautiful night, little breeze, about 90 degrees, and then here comes the norther. Temperatures have dropped from the 90s to the 40s. It is 41 degrees this morning here in Big D Dallas in the Metroplex. It's going to be a windy, cool, crisp day today, but all signs towards a beautiful day for football tomorrow, Buck.
You know, I as that song was singing, Wake Up Everybody, I was just so comfortable in my bed this morning, and I could hear that rain and wind last night, and of course, you know, we stay there at the a Holiday Inn Express. I've always liked that huge monster
bed. Balling on a budget, baby.
Hey, it's nothing wrong with that. Those five pillows, they stack up there. I had them stacked all around me last night.
That hotel is perfect.
Sleeping like a baby, and I didn't want to get up out of that bed. But it is quite cool this morning. We have been here, I don't know, has it been 20 years coming this? At least 10 years of this. And we never know what to expect at this golf tournament. You know, one year it's like thunderstorms and raining. One time it's 95 degrees and we're sweating before the show even starts. It's freezing today. A lot of wind, but it's not really as cold as it seems. It's just a little bit
but
of wind.
The wind's blowing about 25 or 30 miles an hour. These,
yeah.
These golfers are going to have their hands full today who are playing golf.
But how about where we are? How about where they set us up this year? This is the ultimate of all ultimates right here. We've never been inside of the clubhouse. Yeah. We are in the clubhouse.
Big
no complaints.
To Joe and the crew here because we're inside. Indoors, don't have to deal with the elements. I know you can call us soft. Call us what you want.
I'm soft.
Getting old, whatever. But we're here. We are indoors, and we're ready for a four-hour conversation about Texas and Oklahoma to get you ready for this matchup tomorrow. We'll talk about it from all angles. We'll get to all the conversations. Of course, we can grab as many folks as we can. A lot of former Longhorns play in this golf tournament. And so when they roll in, we will grab them, put them on air, and talk Texas football taking on Oklahoma.
And it's generally the old dudes that I coach back in the day that live up here. There's a whole bunch of them
around. It's always fun to grab them. And this is a really cool golf tournament. It's put on by the Dallas chapter of the Texas X's, and they're a robust chapter. They do incredible work for scholarships. And, you know, they'll have the cannon will be out here. They'll shoot that off when they're ready to tee off.
I always want to know when that's coming because at my age right now, I've been known that thing to shock the hell out of us sometimes. You know what I mean?
No.
Out of nowhere.
They also have the Longhorn Choir out here, and they sing the fight song, and they sing the school song to get everybody pumped up. It's a really good way to start the Texas OU weekend, and it's an annual rite, and we're thrilled to be here, privileged to be here with the folks.
Let me start it out by saying good morning to the soldiers at Fort Hood, Texas, the soldiers in the state of Texas, and all those that fight for us each and every day. Thank you so very much for the great job that you do. We do appreciate it. To you teachers out there working hard for us, you veterans and you EMS workers, and out in some parts right now, lots of fires, lots of wind, lots of rain, lots of snow.
Snow in other places.
Snowing in places.
It feels like it gets snow here. I'm just telling you. If you go outside, it's 40-some degrees, and the wind's blowing, wind chill. But it's good to be indoors. It's good to be in Dallas, and it's good that the weather should not impact It will impact the golfers today. It should not impact the football game tomorrow.
Oh, what a day tomorrow. Oh, how about that day?
We're looking at probably 55, 56 degrees at kickoff. Blue skies, crisp, and a warm throughout the game and throughout the afternoon. High temperature tomorrow, about 67 degrees. So ideal. Chamber of Commerce, perfect for one of the great events of the sports calendar, no matter what the records are. And this year you have the 11th-ranked team in the country and the 6th-ranked team in the country in a collision course tomorrow. Let's get to some headlines because there's a collision course in Major League Baseball that has been a season in the making. We also have some good news for the Longhorns on the injury report. Let's hit the headlines on a Friday morning. Renaissance Dental brings you the headlines, and we'll start with college football at Red River Showdown. After practice last night, Texas head coach Tom Herman went through the team's injury report, and, well, as they say, no news is good news. As expected, defensive backs Jalen Green, Josh Thompson, Caden Stearns, as well as running back Jordan Whittington all out for the game tomorrow, but that was expected. Tight end Cade Brewer, safeties Chris Brown and DeMarvion Overshown, and, yes, senior wide receiver Colin Johnson are all listed as probable and will play at the Cotton Bowl tomorrow, which is a big boost to the Longhorn offense. Of course, Collins missed the last month or so with a hamstring injury. It's the 115th engagement. Texas and OU tomorrow at 11 o'clock. You'll hear it right here on the Horn, and certainly we'll talk about it between now and then all the way to the end. In baseball, the Astros made it happen last night. Gerrit Cole tossed his second consecutive playoff masterpiece as the Astros staked him to an early 4-run lead and route to a 6-1 win over Tampa last night in the deciding Game 5 of the AL Divisional Series. They move on to face the Yankees. A.J. Hinch, the Astros manager, happy to move through.
This was a grinder of a series, obviously, and we get to Game 5. We get to have it at our home field, and we get to have Gerrit Cole. A lot of that is lined up well for us, and we respond with a really good game. So, big moments, big atmosphere today, and big-time performances by big-time players.
Certainly did. As for Cole, speaking of big-time players, following his 15-strikeout gem in Game 2, he did it again last night, overpowering the Rays. 8 innings, struck out 10. Right-hander is now 18-0 in his last 24 starts.
I mean, just elated. It was just a really hard-fought series. I mean, a lot of credit to the Rays. They had an unbelievable season. They put up an unbelievable fight, really challenged us. Fortunately, we were able to take the lead early and play really outstanding defense and then finish it off with a couple homers.
What a performance, what a pitcher. So it's on to the matchup that has seemed inevitable all season long, the heavyweight tilt. 107-win Astros facing the 103-win New York Yankees in the American League Championship Series Game 1 tomorrow night in Houston. Astros won 4 of the 7 meetings in the regular season. Zach Greinke gets the ball for the Astros. James Paxton gets the ball for the Pinstripes. Game 1 of the National League Championship Series is tonight in St. Louis. Cardinals and Nationals. Anibal Sanchez faces Miles Mikolas there in the Gateway City. In the NFL, Week 6 of the season opened last night in New England. Tom Brady, 2 touchdown runs, both quarterback sneaks, and he also moved ahead of Peyton Manning into second place on the NFL's all-time passing list as New England grinded out but then pulled away from the New York Giants 35-14. They improved to 6-0. Giants fall to 2-4. Down in San Marcos, Texas State had their 2-game winning streak snapped in a Thursday night special. They lost to UL Monroe 24-14. And in golf, down in Houston, the Houston Open, Austin Cooke and Taylor Gooch shot 8-under par 64s. They take the lead after the first round down in Houston.
To make the biggest impact, you don't always have to make the most noise. At Renaissance, we stay focused on dental, vision, life, and disability insurance, so your company can have a benefits experience that stands out. Ask your broker about Renaissance or visit renaissancebenefits.com.
All right, Buck, quite a game last night for the Astros. We'll get into the Texas OU matchup, obviously, here coming up. But what can you say? Gerrit Cole, you kept telling me yesterday, don't be nervous. You got Gerrit Cole on the mound, and in my warped self-loathing, been hit in the gut a lot of times, you know, Houston sports fandom. It's almost like you feel like Gerrit Cole's due to have not a great performance, just an average performance, which can cost you. But he was just masterful again last night, dominant, maybe even better than he was when the 15 strikeout performance, because he got a lot, you know, he was just efficient with his pitches, only threw 107 pitches, got 8 innings, didn't even have to go to the bullpen except for Roberto Osuna to get the final 3 outs with a 5-run cushion. Because the Astros posted those 2 other runs in the 8th. It was just a really solid performance and sets up the matchup you and I and the rest of the baseball world have been anticipating for 6 months now.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that matchup. But as of yesterday, it wasn't just about Cole. It was about the rest of his teammates that, you know, it's hard to beat the Houston Astros 3 times in a row. I don't care what team you are. I wouldn't care if it was the Yankees, the Dodgers, anybody else. That team is so talented. To lose 3 to them, that's tough. 2, I thought, was exceptional by Tampa, but I didn't think they would win a 3rd, not only because of who was pitching, but because who's in the lineup.
Yeah.
And those guys woke up after two games. They weren't going to stay cold for three straight games. That's just hard to do.
Well, and
they're too good.
And the big story nationally is the tipping of pitches by Tyler Glasnow, the young right-hander for the Rays. And that was clear. I mean, I was sitting there watching this game with a guy. I didn't know him, but I was just leaned over to him and said, they know what's coming. Because you could tell the Astros had seen Glasnow in game one. He only has two pitches. I mean, he throws a changeup, but almost never. He's a fastball, curveball pitcher.
Sure.
So you're sitting on two pitches, and if you know which pitch is coming, and you know they figured that out pretty good through film study between one start and the other. Essentially, he was holding his glove a little bit higher on the fastball before, because Glasnow pitches out of the stretch every pitch. He, you know, even if he doesn't happen to be on base, he's in the stretch. So the Astros were able to uncover that when he's coming with the fastball, his glove in front of his, you know, right under his chin is just a little bit higher than the curveball. Which is a tip. I mean, you're actually telling the batter what's coming, and when it's only two pitches, and here comes the fastball. So when you're good hitters like Springer and Altuve and Bregman and Michael Brantley, these guys could sit on what was coming and then just be disciplined and wait for something in the zone if you already know what the pitch is. And obviously that four-run first inning was massive. They were able to string those hits together, put four runs on the board, and really set Gerrit Cole up to go sit in a rocking chair and just deal. He gave up one solo home run to Eric Sogard, but that was it. And
Tampa wasn't very patient yesterday. They were playing with house money anyway.
Yeah.
So that was a team that was very excited about being where they were in game five. They weren't disciplined at the plate. They were kind of free swinging, saying, hey, listen, what do we got to lose?
Yeah.
We don't have anything to lose.
Well, and you know, it's interesting for me because when you say free swinging, when you talk about the Astros kind of knowing what Glasnow was bringing, with Gerrit Cole, he has three or four plus pitches. I mean, his fastball is as good as any of any pitcher in baseball.
And he wasn't tipping anything.
And right, he doesn't tip, so you're guessing. You can say it's an undisciplined, but they're guessing. They have to sit on the fastball. They're hoping their bat can hit the ball because, you know, he can rip off that slider that falls down and into a lefty and goes away from a righty. He can throw that knuckle curve that just drops off the table, almost acts like a split-fingered fastball, and then he can throw the changeup when he needs to, which is just unfair because the changeup looks just like his fastball. It's just 10 miles an hour slower. That's why he is so dominant, and it makes you look like you're flailing because you're just guessing. You just hope that you pick the right pitch at the right time and your bat makes contact at 98 miles an hour, and they didn't do much of that outside of that Sogard home run. So Astros advance, and they'll face the Yankees. It's going to be a fun series. It starts tomorrow night. Your Yankees have the advantage of be able to set their pitching and line this thing up. They've been resting since early in the week when they took out the Twins in three games, and the Astros, this shows the depth of their team. They will turn to Zach Greinke, who you're not putting chopped liver on the mound, but he certainly didn't.
Yeah, I'm welcoming Zach Greinke to be the starter in this.
Well, there's a lot of ironies in this series.
This game.
But the day Zach Greinke was traded to Houston, he was pitching at Yankee Stadium and pitching a dandy of a ball game. So his last start as an Arizona Diamondback was in Yankee Stadium on the trade deadline day, and that's when they pulled him out of the game. He was pitching well, and they took him out to let him know, hey,
you're on your way.
It was a day game. You've been traded to Houston. So that's how that went down. So there's some irony there. Also, Gerrit Cole, who will get obviously starts in this series, he was drafted by the Yankees out of high school. And Gerrit Cole said, nah, I'm going to go to UCLA. And, of course, ended up as the number one pick in the draft. And now
he'll get to play against his next employer.
Well, yeah. Well, listen, Astro fans, I mean, Gerrit Cole is immortal at this point. What he has done to get through this series and –
yeah, and he's wrapped up to Cy Young.
And I don't know that we've ever seen a free agent hit the market like this guy. I mean, I don't even know what to say. He's 29. He's in the prime of his career. He's a free agent. He's the best pitcher in baseball, and he's going to make a ton of money, on the open market. Will it be the Astros? I doubt it. As I said, I think it'll be a bidding war on the West Coast between the Dodgers and the Angels, and maybe the Giants get involved in that. The Texas Rangers want to be involved in that conversation. The Astros certainly will make an offer, but that thing is going to get high stakes. But first things first, we got baseball, including the National League Championship Series, which opens tonight in St. Louis. So Final Four in Major League Baseball is set. We also had an NFL game last night that was, speaking of the wind that's howling here in Big D Dallas, the wind was howling yet last night at Gillette Stadium, and it affected Tom Brady and the young rookie Daniel Jones. The passing game was tough, but in the end, the Patriots are just too good and too, you know, pulled away. They gave up a defensive touchdown. Tom Brady did a sack fumble that turned into a score for the Giants. Giants hit one play on offense. It was a nice pass to Golden Tate.
Well defended.
Well defended, because everything New England does, Buck, is well defended. Bill Belichick has one hell of a defense.
Yeah, he's got a bunch of guys that they all look the same. They can run. They can get after the quarterback. They can tackle.
They all look the same. Yeah, they're all a bunch of clones.
Yeah, and when they cover guys, you better be right on the money. And I thought Daniel Jones threw a couple of really nice balls just to get them in there, because they're all contested. There's always a hand in there to knock passes away. It's just that New England's New England. They're going to block. And for a while there, Tom Brady actually looked like he was getting old. As I was looking at him, I was
saying,
wow, man, this offense isn't very good, and Brady's not throwing completions. He's getting sacked. The sack fumble for a touchdown, I don't know how long he thought he had to throw that ball, but he was already back there 4 seconds. I'm thinking, hey, Tom, somebody's coming from somewhere. You've been in the league a long time. You know they're coming. And he took that sack, and they scooped it up and scored on, and then he started to do what Brady does. They got on the sideline and said, come on, we really are playing against the Giants.
I'll give the Giants some credit. I think both teams understood that it was going to be hard to throw the ball in that game just because the wind was so impactful on any pass down the field. And so they stacked the box and they attacked. And I thought the Giants' defense acquitted itself pretty well. But the Patriots do what they do. Block punt for a touchdown. They scored a defensive touchdown.
And I never even heard of anybody that was on the Giants except for Golden Tate. Anybody else playing receiver or running back? I didn't even know who those guys were.
35-14 final. It is one of those things with the Patriots. You can't take anything away from them. They've only given up like 3 offensive touchdowns all season. But outside of a game against Buffalo, and Buffalo's a 4-1 team. They beat them 16-10, and their only touchdown, the Patriots came on a blocked field goal or blocked punt in the end zone. So not like they dominated the Bills. Bills are 4-1, but every other team that the Patriots have played this season, Steelers are 1-4, Dolphins are 0 for the season, Jets are 0 for the season, Redskins are 0 for the season, and the Giants are 2-4. So, yes, they're dominating, but if you watch them, Buck, like you did last night, their offense has some issues. When they start playing the better teams on their schedule, their offensive line is bad. Their tackle spot on the left side is rough. They lost their center early.
And if you can't run against the Giants, I was really like, why aren't they running against this group?
Yeah, and that, you know, Josh Gordon got hurt last night on the interception or the strip sack fumble.
He'll be sore
today.
Well,
he got bent backwards and forwards. I mean, that was ugly. So I certainly think New England deserves to be called the best team in the league right now, but I don't think they're unbeatable. I certainly don't think they're unbeatable by some teams, but who can beat them becomes a question. Obviously, the Cowboys will play the Patriots this year. The Texans will play the Patriots at some point this year in the regular season. So
if they're going to block punts and block kicks and plus, they got Ted Nugent kicking right now.
Mike Nugent.
Who's a yanker. I mean, he yanked every one of his extra points, just barely made it on the – I mean, it just barely made it to the inside of the goalpost. I'm like, you know he's going to miss one of these, right?
Yeah.
The way he was pulling the
and
ball
I do
last
think
night.
They were trying to play the wind a little bit. But, yeah, Mike Nugent was signed because that's another injury I didn't mention. Steven Gostkowski, their, you know, Hall of Fame-level kicker, had surgery. He's out for the year.
Right.
So you're going with Ted Nugent the rest of the year at kicker.
I know.
And that's going to be a team that's going to need a lot of field goals against good teams. So, you know, vulnerable, but they still have Tom Brady, who went into second all-time in passing yards last night. You know, at some point, maybe Rob Gronkowski, who was doing the TV last night, decides, you know what, I'm going to put the shoulder pads back on. Let's play some football.
Well, I think if you heard what was said by Robert Kraft said that he hasn't signed his retirement papers yet.
Oh, come on.
He didn't. He
this
didn't sign his papers.
This is such a setup. That dude's just chilling for the first month of the year.
And then when the playoffs come, he's going to play.
Yeah, you might see him come December.
He said, no, dude hadn't signed.
87's back.
When Robert Kraft said, no, he hadn't signed his papers yet. So he said, the door's still open. I'm like, well, no, it's not just open. They're just waiting to get to the playoffs, and here he comes. You'll get a month of readiness in December. Then they'll be ready for the playoffs.
All right. So
that ain't a bad move right there.
Not at all. Not at all. All right. So we've got Texas-Oklahoma on the brain, but those are the other top stories of the morning. We'll start diving in and drilling down on this game. We certainly have been doing it all week, and we'll continue to do so. Also, as we do on Fridays before Texas-OU, we'll fire up the Specs text line, take your favorite all-time Texas-OU memories. We've got a call from a guy at the office this week that has been to 50 straight Texas-OU games. I'm trying to get him on the show, but I haven't been able to reconnect with him. But 50 in a row at this game is what makes this rivalry so special. That it the only thing I compare it to, and I do it every year, is the Masters. Because like the Masters, and it also has the moniker unlike any other, is that you can go back 50 years and watch the Masters, and you're watching the same course. You're just watching different golfers on the same course, playing the same holes, dealing with the same brutal putts and chips and all that goes on at Augusta National. And I feel like that's the same with this Texas OU game. You can go back any decade, turn the tape on. It's the same field. It's the same uniforms. It's the same teams. It's just different people in those uniforms. And this year's version gives us a dandy with Sam Ehlinger, Jalen Hurts, Lincoln Riley, Tom Herman, a burgeoning coaching rivalry. it's got all the elements of being a great one tomorrow.
Yeah, and generally there's somebody that becomes a legend in this game. All the other games, they don't become legends at, unless you miss a interception versus Texas Tech. Oh. You become a legend. But there are games that
can, what do you got to go there for?
Why? What did I do?
It's 11 years ago. Let that die. Let that go away.
I'm just saying that, but there's always somebody who becomes a legend in this football game.
You're telling
game.
The Saints fans to get over last year's NFC Championship.
Why haven't they
game,
gotten over it either?
And you're still talking about Blake Gideon 11 years later.
Did he really drop that ball? They ran right through the wickets. But no, this is a game, and
I've already got my guy
who I think is going to be that legend.
Well, let's start it right there. Like, who? That's another great question for the Specs text line on this Friday before Texas OU, because you're right. Whether it's Stoney Clark, Roy Williams on the Oklahoma side, insert any name you want.
Pete Gardere. James Brown. I mean,
but it doesn't. No, Stoney Clark's the legend because he made one play, right?
He made
one huge play at the goal line to preserve it and be a stone wall. Who becomes a legend tomorrow? That maybe we're not thinking about. Certainly, Sam Ellinger's already a legend in this game for what he did a year ago.
Dicker the kicker,
which we'll hear that highlight coming up. Who is your pick to become a legend in this game?
Mine's is Roschon Johnson. Tomorrow becomes.
And you said that 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, he becomes a legend in this game. I think it's just set up for him, and whether it's trick plays with him, you know, I write 28 halfback pass where he gets down to the goal line, they think he's running, he just pops it over the top into the end zone for a winning touchdown. And I just think he's going to have a fantastic game. I think it's set up for him. The weather's going to be perfect. And this is one of those weather games, E, where a lot of times, you know, Tom Herman likes to play a lot of people. This will be a game that you may look and say, you know what, this weather's nice. Nobody's tired out here. Nobody's hot. Let's let Roschon run with the ball a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, and if they can get on this defense, it'll be very aggressive early by Oklahoma and get some big runs off and get some guys out of their lanes. I think he's going to be the guy. Now, Sam, without a doubt, is a part of that, and he's going to make things happen with his feet and with his arm. But I think there'll be one individual outside of Sam Ellinger that has the possibility of doing that, and I think it's Roschon Johnson tomorrow.
All right, it's B&E on a Friday. We're live in the Metroplex. We are at the Firewheel Golf Club in Garland, Texas, home of the Get Teed Off at OU Golf Tournament, the annual event to start and launch Texas OU weekend. We'll be talking to the who's who at this event throughout the morning, so lock it in, whether you're listening on 104.9, 101.9 FM, AM 1260. Stream us all the way through all day long today. We'll get you our agenda for the day here in Dallas and then into tomorrow for game day. Stream us on the Horn app, of course, or at hornfm.com. Oh, man, we are up and we are ready for Texas-Oklahoma. Taking your all-time Texas OU legendary memories throughout the morning. Also, who will be the legend in this game tomorrow is a question. Bucky has put Roschon Johnson on his hit list to have a heck of a game tomorrow. And as we know in this game, over 114 times, it can be one or two plays that sets you apart and makes you a legend like Cameron Dicker a year ago with the game-winning kick. Longhorns win at 48-45. The list goes on and on. So we'll take yours. Throughout the course of the morning, your favorite memories, plays that just stand out, and certainly your pick for tomorrow. The game itself, Buck, I mentioned in the headlines that, and I should mention, we're live at the Firewheel Golf Club here in Garland. So if you live in the area, you're listening on the app, swing on by. They'll have Taco Deli out here this morning and all kinds of food and coffee before they tee this thing off. I think just after 9 o'clock is when they fire the cannon and Smokey blasts and scares Bucky to heck. And
the cheesesteak Taco Deli.
Wait for that.
Always.
Yes, man. Yes. But
you know, even when we're talking about heroes in this game, I'll tell you one that we would all probably like to have. I would literally like to have Malcolm Roach, because I know they win if Malcolm Roach becomes your hero in this game.
Yep.
He's a senior. You know, this is his last tilt. It's not his last chance at Oklahoma, but I don't believe, but it's his last tilt at the Cotton Bowl. I'd love to. How about if that guy became your hero in this game? That'd be special.
Well, I think he and guys like Taquan Graham and Keandre Coburn and certainly Joseph Osai, I mean, they've got a chance. I mean, a guy like Juwan Mitchell, who's really kind of taken over that spot on the linebacker, because as we talk about this, before the softball game yesterday, Buck, I was over at the Frisco Rough Riders ballpark, Dr. Pepper Park, which is a beautiful ball field, and we were doing some Texas OU conversations from both sides of the Red River, and there were media members from OU, and I was talking with them kind of off the air, and they're as concerned as anybody about their offensive line. They're really concerned about this. It has to be a major focus. You know, the last two NFL primetime games should show you it is hard to play football if you don't block people up front and your quarterback is harassed. Baker Mayfield on Monday night had no chance against that pass rush of the San Francisco 49ers. And last night, even a guy like Tom Brady was having a hard time with the Giants when his offensive line was struggling because they've got new people in. And to me, that's the headline of this game, and it's why I'm still puzzled so much that the line in Vegas is still double digits, and people are all across the country are picking Oklahoma in a blowout. And it's like, yes, they're great. Lincoln Riley's a great coach. Jalen Hurts is a good player. But an average to below-average offensive line to begin with is now likely to play without its two tackles tomorrow, right and left. You coached offensive football a long time, Buck. That is hard to coach around. You're going to have mismatches up front, which means to me that you should be able to put them in second and third and negative situations, and you should be able to get pass rush without bringing extra people.
Yes.
You should be able to. And Todd Orlando, since he's been at Texas, when he can disguise his coverages and get people into third and negative, he's been really good. He's been really good. And that's where a guy like Malcolm Roach can have a big sack and change the game with a strip sack. A guy like Taquan Graham, Joseph Osai off the edge. And those guys should be able to get home without having to bring the extra people. And that's, to me, that's the difference in the football game tomorrow.
But what Vegas does is they go on analytics. They go by what the numbers say. And they say the numbers that Texas defensive secondary is not very good. And that right now what's going on, even though they've played bad teams in Oklahoma, I'm not saying bad teams, they just haven't played really, really good teams, that they've taken advantage of secondaries, but they've had an awful lot of time because it's not equal players. And they've had time, gotten away with some things with this offensive
Oklahoma
line.
Oklahoma has gotten away with it.
And they've schemed, and plus Lincoln Riley Riley can scheme you enough that he can – but he can't play the game. He can't play tackle.
Well, I hope people don't think I'm standing here saying Texas is going to hold Oklahoma to 10 points. I think Oklahoma will score points in this game. Lincoln Riley will find a way. But we know, because people are talking about Texas' secondary against Oklahoma, Oklahoma's secondary is no better than it was a year ago. This is the same group that Texas played twice, and they were able to move the ball and score points, and I expect the same from Sam Ehlinger tomorrow. The other thing is, if you can get pressure and create negative plays, Buck, without blitzing, you can help out your secondary because you can leave
for
more.
For sure.
If I go back to the LSU game, LSU was so effective against Texas because they have a very good offensive line. Texas held up against the run in that, but they didn't get much pass rush. They were having to bring blitzers to try to get to Joe Burrow, which left their guys exposed in man coverage, and Joe Burrow exposed them. If you don't have to bring extra people, you don't have to leave your young corners on an island. You can give them shade coverage. You can help them in other ways, play that three safety high look. And that's where I look at it and say, can you slow down Oklahoma enough, create a couple of turnovers that flips this game, and Texas finds a way to win it? And if you want the Vegas numbers, Oklahoma has been favored by 7.5 points or more in every game in this matchup since 2013, every time.
That's right.
And five of those were double digits like this one. They haven't covered a single one. They have not covered one of those as a touchdown or more favorite in this game. And Texas has won the game outright three times. So this is nothing new that the nation has a different opinion of the game. And I would also argue this, that since 2013, when those lines we talk about, this is the best Texas team that will play in this game since 2013.
For sure.
Right.
In all aspects, yes.
Yeah. And that's why
maybe not secondary, but in most aspects, yes. It's the best team that they would have put out on that football field.
Yeah, most complete. Does it have some holes? For sure. But go back to 2013. This is the best team Texas has had in this game since that game.
And a lot of these times you just throw out the I don't understand. They don't, as you said, people all over the country don't understand about this rivalry. You just don't get out and run away in this rivalry. It just hasn't been that way. And no matter what your record is, when these two get together, it's a slobber knocker. And it's generally a very close football game. And somebody pulls away in the fourth quarter. And it's been on a status, who's rushed the best, who ran the ball the best in this game.
Yeah.
That generally tells you who's going to win this football game. And for me, is Todd Orlando going to be aggressive early in the football game? Or how long is it going to be for this feeling out process in this football game? Is it going to be three series? Or is it, let's get after them right away?
I think you get after them. Because, again, if it is true that both tackles don't play,
right,
you got to attack them early.
Absolutely.
You're moving guards to tackle, which means you're bringing in backup guards. You have to attack that with your physicality. As you talked about earlier this week, a lot of stunts on this group. And making them guess where you're going to be. Don't make it easy on them.
I want to see how they handle it together. It can't be a united offensive line when there's so many different guys playing it.
That's right. And you know the hands of the glove, right? And you have to get them moving. And at the same time, Lincoln Riley's no dummy. He understands where he's at, so he's going to play a lot of max protect, which means you only have two or three possible options in the routes a lot of times on passing downs.
Yeah, he can keep that tight end all he wants to with me because I don't want that guy running out in routes anyway.
Well, and early and down in distance, he's probably going to try to play some power football and run the ball and stay ahead of the chains. I mean, it's pretty obvious what Lincoln will try to do here.
And as we know that everybody wants to run and see if Texas is up to the task in the run game first.
Sure. And
they just do it.
And even when they've been bad, Texas has been up to the run game in this game.
In this game. You're right. Absolutely. Because they've been – if not, they've been the more physical team over the last 5 or 6 years in this game.
Well, and that's why they've covered that line, which they haven't won every game. They've won three of those since 2013, but they have always kept it competitive. And last year it was Texas that ran away with it, and then fourth quarter, here come the Sooners and Kyler Murray, and it became a dramatic finish for sure. All right, so that's a glimpse of Texas. We'll talk about it all morning long, taking your heroes, who's going to be the instant Cotton Bowl hero today. This says, give me Keandre Coburn. And who else does he have here? This says, give me Keandre Coburn and Jay Smith. Who's Jay Smith? Oh,
Jake.
Number 16, the freshman.
Could he be?
Well, I mean, look, Colin Johnson's back. Brandon Eagles had a little bit of a rough game last week at West Virginia. Feel like he's going to want to get back to his level of play. Devin Duvernay's been a stud. He's been named a captain this week. So you got a lot of guys to worry about. And then Jake Smith could be the guy you forget about.
Yeah, with the exception of Sam Ellinger, the guy that I really would be looking after if I'm on the Oklahoma side is Devin Duvernay getting loose. He's caught a lot of balls.
Yeah.
And in every game he's caught a lot of balls. And if they want to stop somebody, that's the guy you got to stop because he sets the tone the way Sam Ellinger is going to be in the passing game. He has really set the tone in each one of the games. He would 4 or 5 quick catches.
Yep.
And now the tone is set, and now Sam Ellinger is loose to throw to everybody else.
Well, coming up at 8:10 this morning, we're going to talk to Ryan Aber, who covers the Sooners for the Oklahoman. And this is one of the guys I was talking with yesterday. That's his big concern on Oklahoma's defensive side, and he'll tell you that. They've had issues, even against the poor schedule they've played, of tackling in space. Their defense is better by every regard with their new defensive coordinator. They're more attacking style. They're more fundamentally sound. They're so much better on third down. But he did say they've had some issues tackling, especially in those slots, in the slot receivers. Well, we're talking about Devin Duvernay, Jake Smith in the slot against their interior guys in the defensive backfield. That also appears to me to be advantage Texas. And the bumper sticker version of why I am picking Texas to win this game tomorrow is that. We've been in enough of these games. The team who wins the line of scrimmage on both sides wins this game. And for me, on paper, the Longhorns should win both lines of scrimmage. They've got the superior offensive line, and with Oklahoma's offensive line issues, Texas has the far superior defensive line. And they have a quarterback who's a high-level quarterback. I can't pick against him in that. Obviously, Texas could lose. I understand that. But when you factor those things together, that's what typically wins this game because the lines of scrimmage lead to bad down and distance, leads to turnovers, leads to momentum swings. I'd like Texas to win this game.
Yeah, well, if Texas is going to win the Big 12 championship and win the Big 12, this is it. This is that game. This is a monster game. And As I said, I think Texas can beat Oklahoma twice. I don't think Oklahoma can beat Texas twice. So if it's going to start, it has to start tomorrow. If you're going to win both of them, you got to win the first one. And I think they'll win the first one. And as a matter of fact, I still believe they'll win that second one too.
Well, we've got a long way between now and there, but not very long between now and the first matchup, which is tomorrow down at the Cotton Bowl. We'll take your thoughts on it. We'll get the Oklahoma perspective as well as we have all week. Got to figure out what's going on there. We'll hear from their great linebacker, Kenneth Murray, who's playing at an all-Big 12 level coming up. You've got to think he may be spying Sam Ellinger in this game, certainly in passing downs. Kenneth Murray, the middle linebacker. We'll also hear from Lincoln Riley. Here's some other folks. We're drilling down on Texas-Oklahoma. Not forgetting about those Astros who got the big win last night. We'll preview Astros-Yankees, the much-anticipated all-season-long ALCS. The collision course has come to fruition. We'll get back into that. Also, a little football in the NFL because it's a good weekend there. And other games outside of this one tomorrow, Buck.
Oh, big game for down in College Station where it's lit with Alabama coming to town.
Speaking of it's lit, the storms that rolled through here also rolled through Austin now. Someone just gave us a text that the power is out in Lakeway. Power is out in Lakeway, so we'll keep an eye on that this morning.
Does that mean no Lake Travis? Westlake game? Battle
of
the Lakes?
Well,
come on
it's
now.
It's early yet.
That's a monster
game. It's only 6:41, but Lakeway not lit, apparently, just like College Station. All right, so that's what we're up to. We're having a good time. We're live in Garland, Texas, the Get Teed Off at OU Golf Tournament here on the Show of the People. We'll take you along with us all morning long. Great guests, great conversation. B&E, live in Dallas.
It's the Craig Way Sports Report. Now, here's Craig. The football weekend is underway for the area's three collegiate programs. In truth, it began last night in San Marcos, where Texas State had a Thursday night matchup with Sunbelt Conference foe Louisiana Monroe. Unfortunately for the Bobcats, it did not end well. The Cats had struggles on offense throughout the night, and while a fumble recovery set up a 62-yard touchdown pass from backup quarterback Tyler Vitt to Trevis Graham late in the third quarter, it was as close as Texas State could get, and the Warhawks added an insurance touchdown in the final 2 minutes of the game to seal at 24-14. It's a travel day today for the other two area programs. Southwestern University is off to Jackson, Mississippi for a matchup with Belhaven tomorrow afternoon. And in Dallas, it's the Red River Showdown tomorrow at 11 a.m., Texas and Oklahoma. Longhorns defensive coordinator Todd Orlando looks at an explosive Oklahoma offense led by transfer quarterback Jalen Hurts, wide receivers CeeDee Lamb and Charleston Rambo, and running backs Trey Sermon and Ramondre Stevenson, and sees trouble in all directions.
Well, I think on the outside with CeeDee and Rambo, I don't think they lose a lot. I mean, you look at Hollywood last year. I mean, these guys can absolutely run. So, and then, you know, we've gone against Trey and the Stevenson kid's a really, really tough runner, too. So he's a moose. And, you know, so there, I mean, to me, it's amazing that they're able to get in those spots, some of the talent they have. And then Jalen is, you know, he's coming over from a great program. He's in a program right now. He has a whole bunch of weapons with him. He's being coached up. He's starting to really, really understand the system. And he plays with unbelievable confidence and no fear. So when you have a talent, when you can make all the throws, and obviously he can extend plays with his feet, but just being fearless and going on the field, and even if something bad happens to you, and be able to just let it go and to go out there and compete again. I think that's when you get people and, you know, these older guys that transfer over, that's what makes them so dangerous.
Coming up this afternoon, Todd Orlando discusses one key to winning that perhaps trumps all others with regard to his defense. That's in our next report. I'm Craig Way.
Little over 24 hours out, Texas OU for the 115th time. Here's the text. It says, shout out to all the TDS, Texas Disposal Service workers. We're all listening to the horn and listening to the crew every day. Alonzo and Dump Trucker says OU still sucks.
Thank you, Alonzo. Appreciate
you, Alonzo,
that. Love
the TDS
get
workers.
My soil out there in TDS.
Hey, Buck, it's 8.
Any chance I can?
It's 6:52.
I know you still sucks.
Thank you very much. We're live in Garland, Texas, Firewheel Golf Club, where if you missed the start of the show, the temperature has dropped about 50 degrees from yesterday. We were at the softball game last night over in Frisco, about 90 degrees, perfect evening, and then here comes the haymaker. The storm rolled through, and it is in the 40s this morning, and the wind is howling. It's going to be a heck of a day for golf here in Garland, but should be a windy breeze, like really gusty winds here in Dallas today, but move on, and tomorrow looks beautiful.
It'd be a great day and for Sooners that are on their way here to Dallas, you could shut down your Dairy Queens where the majority of your people work and head on down here because it's so cold. Nobody wants ice cream today.
Well, how will I get my hunger buster?
I don't know how you're going to get your hunger buster, but shut them down and head this way.
Yeah.
There's no need for all of you to work today.
Well, no secret, I'm picking Texas to not just cover this game. I think they're going to win this game. But here's a fair text. It says, what has the Texas defense done to elicit your confidence in them? And look, I think that's a fair thing. You look at the stats. The stats say Texas has been leaky on defense, and I understand that. I just feel like the Texas' strength is their defensive line. Even against LSU, the defensive line held up really well. We know against Oklahoma State, who's got a veteran offensive line and a great running game, Texas held Chuba Hubbard, the nation's leading rusher, to 3.3 yards a carry. I think they're going to, and again, the weakness of Oklahoma's offense is their offensive line, so that's a great matchup for Texas. And if you can dominate that line of scrimmage, it helps you in the back end where Texas has struggled. You can provide more coverage. You can help out some of these young corners if you can win up front, which I think Texas will in this game. Yes, Oklahoma's very, very good, and they're going to score some points, and Jalen Hurts is tremendous. But I'll say this again, and I don't think even folks from the Oklahoma side of this game would disagree with me. This is in a big game, which Jalen Hurts has played in a lot of them. This will be far and away the worst offensive line he's ever played behind in a big game. He hasn't played.
Yes.
Because at Alabama, it's Alabama. They got five stars across the board. They're all headed to the NFL, and it's a cushy offensive line and a system that protected the quarterback at the time when he was there. At Oklahoma, He's played behind this line, but this line loses two tackles, and now they're playing the best opponent they will face. So, again, he's playing. How does he handle that? How does he handle a pocket that's not clean? How does he handle the exotics that Todd Orlando will bring him? Those are things I want to see. I want to see
in
real action.
But in those big games that Jalen Hurts has played in, he has played against better defenses.
That's true.
Then he's, as they say, he's going to be playing. He has played against better defense that we'll see tomorrow. For me, I'm just sticking by my guns on this three-man front. I just like to see a four-man front. If you're going to do things out of the three-man front, you can still do those things out of a three-man front with four linebackers. You can still blitz. You can still twist. You can still do that. But I feel more comfortable in this Texas defense when there's a fourth on the line of scrimmage. Yeah. And when Joseph Bosa is on the line of scrimmage, I like the way he covers from tackle to tackle of the run game, where he slides over the top, makes a tackle that's at the line of scrimmage. I like him tackling at the line of scrimmage better than I do when he's 6 yards back.
Yeah, I agree.
Because he makes a lot of tackles 6 yards back.
Well, and that's where Osai becomes huge for me, along with Malcolm Roach. Those guys at that point would be the perimeter. They'd be the edge setters, right, in this Texas defense.
And the other kid you talked about, number six, who's now as quick as
Juwan Mitchell.
Yes.
Yeah, that was maybe under noticed, but Alex Dunlap of OrangeBloods.com went back and tracked all of the defensive snaps last week in West Virginia, and Juwan Mitchell was on the field, number six, for 75% of the snaps. Jeffrey McCullough only 22% of the snaps. So it's almost like Mitchell, at least in that game, took the spot, and we'll see if that continues. But look, my optimism and hope for Texas is that they don't have to blitz, that they can get the pressure. To go back to what we saw with the 49ers on Monday night against Baker Mayfield, they didn't have to blitz to get pressure, which still leaves seven guys to cover in the back end. That's what makes life difficult on a quarterback. But obviously it starts with stopping the run and getting them in obvious passing situations so you can bring that. All right, we'll talk about it with you. We'll reset the game last night at Minute Maid Park in Houston. What a performance. And with that in mind, let's get to the B&E Fact of the Day.
B&E Fact of the Day brought to you by Dr. S. Brent Brotzman, an orthopedic surgeon providing personalized, empathetic, and cutting-edge care to all athletes from the recreational to the elite. BrotzmanSportsMedicine.com.
When I say that Gerrit Cole is immortal, pretty amazing last night. 25 strikeouts in his first two starts of a postseason, matching Mike Mussina, a Hall of Famer. There's only one other pitcher in the history of baseball who has more than 25 strikeouts in their first two postseason games. Who was that? You may have seen the stat on the broadcast last night, but we'll tell you who it was on the other side. It's pretty lofty territory for our man Gerrit Cole. Plus, we'll reset the headlines of that game, the Giants and Patriots last night, and more, obviously, on the Texas OU matchup. It's B&E live in Dallas.